Are you thankful today? Yes. Praise God. Heard a beautiful testimony from Amber this week. She was saying how she was, I don't know where she was, in the store, I think, with a two-year-old. And her two-year-old started saying, "Mommy, thank you for my milk. Thank you for changing my diaper. Thank you for my daddy. Thank you for," and she went down this, "thank you for Gracie. Thank you for Shara. Thank you for Jared." And she started naming all these people and everyone. And I thought, wow, she's two. The Bible says, "In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So it's a very important thing. If you're not thankful, I guarantee you and promise you that you are not in the will of God. Okay. Well, come on, folks. I mean, if being thankful is the will of God, then if you're not thankful, you're not in the will of God. I mean, E equals MC squared, even if you say it backwards, which I'm not going to try. Okay. Today, I want to speak about manifestation. Somebody say manifestation. You know, I don't know about you, but I've been in church a long time. I've been in Pentecost a long time. I've seen deliverance ministries a long time. Most of them are quite bogus, but that's another story. And manifestation, you remember the first time Jesus appeared in the synagogue publicly, a demon manifested. Everybody remember the story? And when that demon manifested, he manifested because of the light. Now, that manifestation happened, and Jesus, of course, sorted it out, praise God, as we should all be doing. But I'm not going to talk about that kind of manifestation. Normally, I don't know about you guys, but you've been in church a while. You hear the word manifest, you think, a demon's going to start in a minute, you know what I'm saying? I'm not talking about that. So let's turn to Romans chapter 8, please. If you haven't got a Bible, please speak to us afterwards, because I'm sure we have Bibles downstairs that we could joyfully give you. So if you don't have a Bible, please speak to anyone who looks like they've been here before. And as I was saying, you know, there are some people who visit our church, some people go to church, and there are some people that say, "This is my church." And there's ownership in what we do in the kingdom, as we actually taught in the leadership meeting this morning. So are we good on Romans 8? Everybody's there except me, right? Because I'm not. Okay, here we go. I thought I was going to just use one verse, but I'm not. I'm going to use several. Romans chapter 8, and I think we'll begin with verse 14. And I'll just read this, Daniel. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." Just like to remind you, the Spirit of God is not in control until you yield your members to Him. Okay? Do not think, I must say this because I want to remind everybody in this church, we are not Calvinists. We believe the promise of God has no effect until you mix it with faith. So therefore, whatever you want to happen is not just going to happen because you want it to happen. It's going to happen when you mix it with faith. Hallelujah. So therefore, we must yield our members to obey. I'm going to say this. This may offend some of you. Please speak to me about it later, or some of the leaders. God is not in control. God is in charge. You see, if the president was in control of our country, we wouldn't have arrested 100 people yesterday. See, he may be in charge, and the police may be in charge, and the military may be in charge, and politicians and parents may be in charge. But trust me, your kid's in control. Come on, folks, help me this morning. So don't sit there thinking that God's in control of your life. He is not. You are. Oh, yeah, you're in control of your life. Because if God was in control, we wouldn't have abortions. If God was in control, we wouldn't have pedophiles. If God was in control, we wouldn't have murders, and we wouldn't have more people in prison than any other country in the world, would we? So are we okay? See, if God's in control, I don't fancy serving that God. The Bible says where the word of the king is, there is power. You see, a king, because I understand kings who haven't been born in Britain, a king is in charge of the whole nation. His word is final. But do you think everybody down the chain is going to take any notice of his word? How many of you climbed the tree after your father told you not to? Okay. Are we okay? That may be enough. Maybe we should have an early break on that one. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, this is something we strongly believe in this church. If God was in control, I wouldn't be overweight. Okay, just to make it personal, here we go. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Let me just touch on the spirit of adoption briefly. Let me tell you something. This is probably going to be too much in one message, but bear with me. You have been born again. If you've been born again, you've not been adopted. You've been born again. Your old man has passed away. Your old man, your Adamic nature, has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer you that lives. Okay. So you've not been adopted. You've been born again. As many as received him, he gave them power to become the sons of God. What does the scripture say in Galatians 3? For we are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ, right? Now, let me explain what the spirit of adoption is. In Jewish times, you could disown your son, like anybody could now. But you were never able to disown an adopted son. Because you made a decision to adopt him, and you were not allowed to go back on your word. So therefore, if you adopted a son or a daughter, they were yours, and you could never do anything about it. That's what this is referring to. Do you understand that? The God has birthed you and adopted you. Now, personally, I like that. I didn't have a father, so I know what it's like to be fatherless. So I thank God. It's really nice in here this morning. This probably should all be in. Okay, verse 16. For the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, see? And if children, then heirs. Not that many of us understand that. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. I wonder what that means. Do you think that means 50-50? I don't know about you, but anything less than 50-50 ain't joint. In my thinking, is that in your thinking? If I go into business with you and 80%, 20%, that's not really joint, is it? You're like a shareholder, but... You know what I'm saying? There's nothing joint about that. That's why the Bible says that we are joint heirs with the grace of God, with our wives. You understand? If you dominate your wife, you're not joint anyway. Are we okay? Joint heirs with Jesus. Are you kidding me? No, apparently not. Why don't you just admit you love Romans 8? Hallelujah. And if children and heirs and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, let's ignore that, that we may also be glorified together. Suffer with him? Who put that in there? How could that possibly appear in an American Bible? Anyway, forget that. Don't you hate the promises of God when they got an if in it? All right, so okay, here I go. Verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. Where?
In us.
Where?
In us.
Hallelujah. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is working in you, both to will and to do of his great pleasure. Right? So it works in us. We doing okay? But verse 19, maybe we could throw that one up, Daniel. For the earnest expectation, whoa, like those words, of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. In the King James Bible, it says the manifestation of the sons of God. The manifestation of the sons of God. So I'm not talking about demons manifesting. I'm talking about sons of God manifesting. Hallelujah. So one of the dilemmas in this world is we haven't yet manifested. Come on, folks. We haven't. We haven't yet manifested. I've had a few experiences in my life. I remember the first time it snowed in Jerusalem. It was March, funny enough, and it snowed about 20 inches. And it was one of the biggest snowfalls I'd ever experienced. It was an awesome experience, you know, to see Jerusalem in the snow. Well, I used to live on the Mount of Olives, so I wanted to trudge along to the top of the Mount of Olives to take a photograph of all of Jerusalem under snow. And I remember trudging along there, and a Muslim guy walked past the other way, and he said, "Hello, holy man." "Who the heck are you?" And I've never said that before. It's probably the first time I've ever told that story. He said, "Hello, holy man." "What? I don't know you." It's a strange thing. I wonder what he saw. I wonder what he saw. I wonder, you know, demons can manifest. Maybe sons of God can manifest. Maybe demons carry out evil, mean, nasty, dark things. Maybe the manifestation of sons of God can bring forth light, joyful, powerful, awesome things that this world will see. You see, because the creation is groaning for it. I don't want to get too like odd, but do you ever wonder about the trees of the field clapping their hands? Do you ever wonder about Jesus talking about the rocks crying out? Do you think he was just, you know, metaphorically speaking? I don't think he was. I can imagine the rocks going, "Please, please, let us join in, please, let us cry out, please." Whereas today, a lot of Christians are going, "No, no, I will not, praise God. No, no, you will not get me to open my mouth." Did I say that? "For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the manifestation of the sons of God." Whew. That's powerful, man. Gee, I'm excited about that. And so you should be, because you are one. You are a son of God. But remember, according to, where are we? Romans 4 and Galatians 4. It says that an heir, as long as he is a child, is no better than a slave. Does anybody know that? I know some of you don't know the Bible as well as me, and I'm not trying to show off, but you know, the Holy Spirit nudges these things, and I've got to say them. A child, even though they're an heir to all things, is no different than a slave. While they're under what? Come on, scholars. The law. While they're under the law. You see, and the law will never cause a manifestation of the sons of God. The law will only ever cause the manifestation of a religious bigot or a self-righteous man or woman or a know-all or somebody who just likes to argue or somebody with a critical spirit. Or do you see my point? We've got to manifest as the sons of God. Now, I'd like to point out that there's a difference between sons of God and children of God, because, as you know, children can't reproduce. So this is why it's important to be a manifest son of God, because you can now reproduce. You can always tell when a person's still a child in Christ, they haven't reproduced anybody. There's nobody following them. They're not in any leadership capacity. They can't point to their, fellowship. Thanks, Tony. But what I mean is does this sound a bit odd? Like, in other words, how long have you been saved and who's following you? Josh said this morning in our Dr. Joshua. Don't laugh at me. Dr. Joshua said this morning that a lot of leaders are just taking a walk. If nobody's following you, and that includes your kids, then you're just taking a walk. That includes your wife. You're just taking a walk. Is this too tough? But see, what I believe we're looking for is the manifestation of the sons and daughters, the reproducers of God. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. They tell me I can slide this with five fingers. Four. Oh, is that the problem? See? Dr. Joshua. Four. Keep out of it. All right, let me just talk about the manifestation of the sons of God. There was no salvation in the Old Testament. Are you okay, theologian? Somebody say amen when I make these radical statements. There was no salvation in the Old Testament. Only promise. Any of you that may know the national anthem of Israel is called HaTikvah. HaTikvah is the hope. Do you know that the word faith is not actually mentioned in the Old Testament? Except the prophecy that says, and the just shall live by faith. That's the only time the word faith is used in the Old Testament, except once when God says, oh, you faithless generation. But we don't want to talk about that. Can you hear what I'm saying? There is no faith in the Old Testament, only hope. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. How many of you, when you're sick, say, oh, God can heal you. Oh, I hope so. God will supply your needs. Oh, I hope so. God will give you a new job. Oh, I hope so. If when somebody encourages you with a promise of God, say, oh, I faith so. Bad English, but good theology. Like the English are experts on theology? I don't think so. Can you hear me? How many times do you say hope so? Of course, there's the other one. Oh. Just do that around me once. Because you'll never do it twice. Anyway. Christian superstition. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Well, we heard repentance in the second row. Well done, girl. That was a light, wasn't it? Hey, that was a light. Look at the girl. Now she's saying, help me accountable. Help me, girls. Help me, help me. Nice one, girl. Come again. Next time, sit in the front row. You get the spit with it. Okay. Now, let me just say another thing. I want you to grasp these things because they're vital. Right. So, all the promises of God in Christ Jesus are yes and amen. Now, there are certain words in the Bible I really get annoyed that they didn't translate it. Like, amen means so be it. Like, Christ means the anointed one. So they kept it as Christ and nobody knows what it means. So therefore, when you say, you know, different things, it doesn't compute. Okay, now, the promise of God is yes, but until you say amen, until you say so be it. So remember, the promise of God does not help you until you mix it with faith. Right, remember the woman who was instructed to feed Elijah. He went there. God said, I've prepared a widow to take care of you. Oh, praise God. Just found a widow whose husband died, left her a bundle. She just scratched off the right number. She's got money. 640 million? 640 million? Oh, quick, check. I must. Anyway. I hope so. So when he got there, the widow was about to die. However, she had the ingredients, but she didn't have the word of the Lord. She had the ingredients, but she didn't mix it with faith. She had the oil, she had the flour, but she didn't have the ingredient, faith. So I don't care what you got, until you got faith, all the promises of God are yes and not for you. Come on, let's face this reality today, okay? Manifestation. Anybody heard me ever say, how are you? So I'm having a healing. You heard me say that? Well, of course you've heard it, Alice. You've been around me for 30 years. I'm having a healing because I'm waiting for the manifestation of the promise of God. Anyway, hallelujah. All right, prophecy. Prophecy is the same. The Old Testament is full of prophecy, hundreds of them. But until one thing happened, all of that came to nothing. One day, a man went down into the wilderness, a man called by God, and he was baptizing people unto repentance, which is not the believer's baptism. We don't baptize unto repentance. We get baptized into Christ Jesus. And suddenly, he looked up. You see, the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. That's what the scripture says. But until it's manifest, there's no salvation. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But only when he manifests himself in you. Only when the word becomes flesh. You see, your prosperity is not happening because you actually don't believe it. You don't actually mix it with faith. You hope so. So this is what faith is. Faith is the substance, the manifestation of things hoped for. That's what faith is. Manifestation. And this creation is crying out for it. And we are it. Okay. Okay, let's go then, talking about the Old Testament. Daniel, what's that? Hebrews 9, verse 8. I got there, mate. For the Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was standing. Okay, you with me? Stay with me, folks. You see, if you're still under the law, you can't get into the Holy of Holies. Because you're not the high priest. If you're still under the law, if you're still under a promise that one day, remember the principle of prophecy. There's a very simple principle of prophecy. That in the Old Testament, they pointed and said, one day, this will happen. In the New Testament, prophecy is, hey guys, good news. It happened. Why do you think it says in 2 Peter 1, we have a more sure word of prophecy? And you would do well to take heed as to a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. So therefore, you take heed to the promise of God that has been fulfilled, but is no use to you until you take heed to it and it manifests in your flesh. Or in your relationships. or in your wallet, or in your ministry. If you're living in the prophetic tomorrow, you're missing it. Now, come on, I prophesied in 40 countries of the world. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. If you're living in the prophetic tomorrow, you're still living in the old tabernacle and you're not entering the holiest of all. Can you understand? Isn't that what it says? You see, while you are living in another tabernacle, while you're living in another thought pattern, an old one that needs to go because there's a better one that's established on better promises. You see, there's a better covenant established on better promises because the better covenant is established at pointing back to the cross, not forward to it. We're getting something, folks. All right. Let's get back to John the Baptist, recorded by John the Revelator. Why don't you pick a John? Do you know how many people think they actually got the ministry of John the Baptist? I can't believe that people actually, they actually think they have a ministry of John the Baptist. They really do. They've got this strange thing. It's all linked in with Elijah. Come on, folks, because John the Baptist was the manifestation of the spirit of Elijah. We all know that, right? So therefore, if you've still got a John the Baptist ministry, you're still pointing towards the cross that is going to happen. Instead of John the Revelator, the Revealer, pointing back to the cross that has happened. These are vital differences, man. So where is it now? 1 John 3:5. I can hear Daniel up there. And you know that he was. Somebody say was. And it says, and you know that he was. And you know that he was. He was. He was. That's why we have a more sure word of prophecy, because he was. He was manifested. For what purpose? Do what with it? You sure it doesn't just mean cover it with his blood? You sure it doesn't mean just like hide it? Do you know how many people actually believe that God is deceiving himself with the salvation he achieved? That when he looks at us, I've heard people say that God looks at us through the blood. Oh, my children. Then when he takes his blood-colored glasses off, ah! What a rotten bunch! No. No, either the word is true, and let God be true and every man a liar. When you're born again, God takes away. He does. Takes it away. You say, and all the religious bones start rattling in your old temple. Come on, folks. All your religious bones start creaking. You mean to tell me, are you saying, no, the Bible's saying very clearly that our sins have been taken away. Are you mean to tell me that we can't sin anymore? I'm not saying that. What I am saying is Adam was created by God. Agreed? Okay. Did Adam have any sin in him? Come on, I want you to answer this. Did Adam have any sin in him? Then how did he sin? By deception. It's Romans 5. I'm getting it. Click, 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 click. Romans 5, 17. For if by one man's offense, got it. For if by one man's offense, Adam, death reigned by one, the fact you were born in sin wasn't your fault. Does everybody know that? The fact you were born in sin wasn't your fault. It was Adam's fault. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, then it's some of my favorite little words in the Bible. Max 4! Those who receive abundance of grace. And some of you have heard one of my little songs. Just a spoonful of grace helps the sin go down the sin, go down. Most Christians believe that. They think their sin is saved by grace instead of a saint that God has taken away the sins of the world. That's why they never manifest. Okay. I hate to admit this, but God gave me this message during the praise and worship. I hate to admit that stuff. You must have noticed, Elaine, I was there the whole time. Did anybody else notice? I'm going, I got in the presence of God, the first song, that was it. All of a sudden, he starts speaking to me. I was going nuts over there. Okay. The Spirit himself indicating the way into the holiest of holy was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle is still standing. What tabernacle are you living in? The tabernacle of tradition, the tabernacle of the law, the tabernacle of your nationality, the tabernacle of your past sin that you refuse to admit as gone. Because you nurture your old sin. Which is why I hate talking about my old life. You ask my kids how much I used to... They know a few things. They knew I used to ride a motorbike. They knew I used to play rugby. And they knew I used to eat more curry than was my share. Right? I didn't used to talk about much else. Because I don't want people licking their lips when I talk about my old life. It's gone. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are made new. And if you're not experiencing this, it's because you're not allowing it to manifest. But it's the truth, and it will set you free. All right. Let's go to 1 Peter 1:20 there, Daniel. Praise God. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the law of the world. Right? Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Remember we mentioned that? But was manifest in these last times for you. Praise God. Do you realize how useless the gospel is until you include yourself? Useless. Do you ever hear the story? I believe this is true, but if it ain't, it's good. I think it's a true story. Now, anybody here ever had the opportunity to go on a cruise, ship, cruise? Oh, praise God, so happy. Well, I met my wife on a ship, in case you didn't know that. My wife and I met on a ship on October the 1st, 1974. And we love cruising. So the story goes, true, I believe, about the man who was emigrating from Europe over to America. And he was on a ship. He was managed to scrape all his money. He just wanted to get to the States. And he scraped all his money together. And he knew it was like a six-day trip. So he was able to get together some bread, some crackers, and some cheese. And every day, he used to sit in his cabin and eat his cheese and crackers. And he would walk past the dining room on the outer deck and he'd look in and see what those people eating. Let me say again, anybody ever been on a cruise? Anybody know what the grub's like? You know what a grub's like, right? It's outrageous. And then he'd go back to his cabin and eat his cheese and crackers. And the next day he'd look in there. If only I could afford this, if only I had the money for that. The last day, he just happened to bump into one of the senior officers. He said, oh, I haven't met you. What's your name? He said, Smith. I'm Wesson. I've been committing suicide all week. That was pretty good off the cuff, Dave. Come on, Don. I was thinking of a name and this first thing came in. Anyway. He said, but Mr. Smith, I haven't seen you in the dining room. He said, well, sir, he said, you know, I only just managed to get the ticket and I didn't have any extra money. He said, I'm so sorry, Mr. Smith. It's all included. It's all in the fare. I'm so sorry. Nobody told you the good news that it's all included. So we're going to close in Titus 1 verse 3. But he has in due time manifested his word through preaching. Are we okay, you who don't think you are called to preach? Then you're not going to see the manifestation of God in your life. Because the power of death and life is in your tongue, not mine. The power of death and life is in your mouth. That if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. So that's what I've got to share with you today. Whatever area of your life you're struggling in, I understand. I struggle in certain areas of my life. We all do. There isn't a man, woman, or child I've ever met that doesn't have a crack in their foundation. However, if you just want to put some plaster over your crack and deny it, then it'll never go away. And you'll never be able to build your house upon the rock. So I'm asking you today, is there an area in your life that you're struggling with? Is there an area in your life that you don't even know has been dealt with? That sin has been taken away? If it's sickness, if it's pain, if it's poverty, if it's broken relationships, God is a healer.